then laughs at my expression. That was my condition. I want to go to college. I want to see what that's like. But after that, you're a full-time god. Looks that way, Jared says. I'll ascend after I get my degree. A god with a degree in mathematics? A god of cats with a degree in mathematics. Jared shakes his head. My usefulness will know no bounds. We head down our row after Henna and Mel, who have let us be. Let us keep talking. We wait, standing, for everyone to arrive. Will we still be able to be friends? I ask him. He just looks at me. The Frenchly Canadian voice of our principal booms over the field, sounding as bored as ever. Graduates, he says, take your seats, I suppose. You don't need to hear the ceremony. God knows I don't hear much of it. The principal purposely gets a few English clichés wrong to raise some gentle laughter. It will be, as one says, up to you to take the cow by the bell. See? Gentle. Bethany gets through her speech without fainting. The jazz band plays a horn-heavy version of Bold Freakin' Sapphire. I sit there, feeling like someone's tipped me out of a helicopter into the middle of the ocean. Jared. Gone. 4 years from now, sure, but gone. He won't even be on the planet somewhere like his absent mom. He'll be in his realms. Literally unreachable. I hate it too, Mikey, he says to me while they start handing out diplomas. Do you know how lonely gods are? Then why do it? Because Finn would be dead if I didn't. And what can I do but nod? Before I know it, Mel's name is called and she stands to go to the front. I rouse myself to cheer, and then I really do cheer? Because Mel made it! Hell, we all made it. At least this far. Mel was supposed to walk with Jared, so they call his name next, and I cheer again, even though it feels like my chest is going to explode. Hannah moves over next to me, and when they call her name, she hugs me, whispers in my ear, I'm not going to Africa, and heads up the aisle to get her diploma, smiling back at me. Mel and Jared have waited for her just off the stage, and even though they're not supposed to, they do the same when my name is called. I stand. I turn to my mom and Meredith, the former taking photos, the latter screaming like I was in Bolts of Fire, and I wave again. I step up on stage, still feeling at sea, feeling like I've just lost sight of shore and, though I'm swimming okay for now, I don't know how long I'll be able to keep it up. Congratulations, the principal says, shaking my hand. I take my diploma from him. And that's it. That's how simple it is. I graduate. I see my friends clapping, waiting for me. They hug me as a group when I get there, a whole bunch of arms around me. The four of us, my friends. At the end. Jared hugs me individually, too. There's something more, he says. Something good but big, if you'll let me. We're kind of holding up the line here, I say, stupidly, still reeling from all this new info. I don't care. He takes hold of my shoulders. I can finally heal you, Mikey, he says in the middle of all this graduating. The OCD, the anxiety, everything. But you can't, that's always been too complex. I can. That was another of my conditions if I took the deal. I don't know what to say to this. Henna and Mel are still there, watching. Other graduates trying to squeeze around us. A number of them just staying and hugging their own friends, because why the hell not? The music from the band is loud and endless. Could you heal Mel? I say, not even knowing I was going to say it. Could you make it so she's okay forever? Mel starts to cry when I say that, but in a good way, even though it's clear she's not at all sure what we're talking about. Jared just smiles. See, Mikey? This is why you're never the least wanted. Not ever. I see a teacher finally wading his way over to us to get us out of the way, as more and more students are hanging around beside us in front of the stage, waiting for even more friends, waiting to have last conversations. Or first conversations, I guess. The first conversations of the new life. I waited for this, Jared says. I asked for years, and they said it was too much for my realm. It would give me advantages over too many other gods. But I kept saying no. Until you finally said yes, I say. Until they finally said yes. I think of his resignation about healing the indie kid. How he had no choice but to take the deal. He must read my thoughts. I thought it would be you, he says. I thought it was you I would heal completely first, not Finn. But healing you meant I had to take the deal. Had to leave. And it was either seeing you suffer or leaving you behind. And now, since you're leaving anyway? He shows me his palms. They light up. This is how much you matter to me, Mikey. I look up in his eyes. The day is hot, the crowd around us getting bigger, louder. That damn music still parping out from the 11th grade brass band. Henna and Mel watching us. Even Nathan finally coming through the now quite uncontrollable crowd. My mom and sister out there somewhere. The future swirling in. Suddenly, a little less worrying. That's all I ever really wanted to know, I say, realizing right that second that it's absolutely true. And then the girl I saw coming out of the gym after prom runs down the graduation aisle, not in a cap and gown. Everybody get out of here! She screams, loud enough to be heard over all the noise. The school is about to blow! Chapter the 21st, in which they blow up the high school. B. We watch the school burn, despite the best efforts of every fire truck within 50 miles. The explosion took out nearly everything, including half the football field and nearly all of the parking lot. Most of our cars were destroyed, so no one's been able to quite get home yet. Blue lights flashed through the initial explosions, including a pillar that reached all the way up to the clouds. But then they stopped, and it was just a ridiculously huge fire. One that, as far as we can tell, didn't kill anyone. Not even any indie kids. When that girl told everyone to run, everyone did. Even the adults, who you would have thought would assume it was a prank. But maybe they really could sense that there was something wrong going on in the town. Or maybe they remember more about their own teenage years than they ever let on. Even my mom carrying Meredith found us in what turned out to be our second stampede of the month. Should we take her seriously? She asked. We really should, Mel said, dragging her along. Everybody ran. Everybody got to a safe distance. Everybody was able to watch as the gym exploded in a wave so strong it still knocked us back. And that was the end of our high school, which was only 8 years old, because it had replaced the last one that had been blown up to destroy the soul-eating ghosts. The circle of life, I guess. There are small hills to one side of the school. They are fairly wooded, but you can still get a good view of the fire through the trees. There's also a fast food place at the bottom of the other side, down from the Mexican place where we ate lunch so many times. And after everyone realized we weren't dead or likely to be, a lot of us were hungry. We got burgers and fries and climbed back up the hill to watch the blaze. We're surrounded now by students in their caps and gowns, parents in suits and dresses, a few news crews, who are talking to my mother, but she's keeping them a safe distance from me and Mel and Hannah and Jared and Nathan and Steve and Meredith, who my mom left with us, as we sit and eat and watch our high school burn to the ground. Well, Mel says, taking a bite of a chicken burger, even eating the bun. At least we got our diplomas. I'm sure everyone else will have theirs mailed to them, Jared says. He's unzipped his gown and is wearing it like a cape. Still got the cap on, though. We all do. Because why not? We graduated. Think Dad can get us some cars for the summer? I ask. As payment for missing the ceremony? Mel says. Oh, yeah. Henna and Jared and Nathan, too. Though, actually, if he'd come today, he might not have been able to run fast enough. So maybe it's for the best. I can't believe they blew up the school, Nathan says, his head resting on Jared's stomach. Hannah drinks the last of her soda.
I know. It felt so inevitable, you kind of thought it would never actually happen.
As long as they rebuild it by the time I graduate, Meredith says.
I'm sure they will, Merit Breath, Jared says. They can only have really good insurance, you'd think.
Don't call me that, Meredith says.
You know we mean it with love, don't you, Bite Size? Jared asks her.
Yeah, she says, smiling. That's why I keep hoping you will, so I can keep saying, don't call me that.
Weirdo,
Mel says affectionately, and hands some more fries to our sister. The sun's still out, but it's late afternoon. We've been here a couple hours, and the fire guys are still no closer to having it under control. Fortunately, the school's in the middle of a huge clearing, so there's not much chance of the forest catching. That would really suck. Instead, it's like a town-sized picnic. We wave to people we know as they walk by or come up to us and chat. We've all found our parents and figured out we're all safe. I even let Mr. Shuren give me a hug.
I can't tell you how sorry I am, he said. You don't need to, I said back.
He let us be and started walking the couple miles back to his house, his car having been toasted too. I feel bad for him, despite also wanting to kill him for involving Mel. But he's not a loser. He's never been a loser. And his only family is leaving for college, and after that leaving forever as far as I understand it. What's he going to have left? What are any of us?
You okay? Jared says, frowning at me now.
Just thinking, I say. We're lying on a grassy stretch. Graduation robes turn out to make decent picnic blankets, though I doubt we'll get our deposits back. Jared gently scoots Nathan off his stomach. Nathan takes the hint and turns his full attention to Hannah, which, all right, is nice of him.
I really could, Mike, Jared says. Heal you.
I know. I saw it with Finn.
I want to. I've always hated seeing you suffer.
I look at him. I don't answer.
He straightens up suddenly.
Oh my God, he says. I'm such an idiot.
He turns to Hannah.
Can I see your arm?
Surprised, she holds it out to him.
Why?
I'm still a little surprised myself she doesn't know already. Then I'm kind of pleased.
No one else knew. He told me first.
Do you mind if I totally healed this?
Jared asks her.
Can you do that?
I can now.
He puts his palms on her cast. The white lights shoot out briefly one more time and stop. Hannah flexes her hand at the end of her cast and frowns.
It doesn't feel weird anymore, she says. You healed the whole thing?
She grabs some loose plaster at the end of the cast, which is looking pretty grimy.
Think I can take this off?
Wait, wait! Steve says, sitting up. What the hell's going on? You can't just take off a...
But Hannah's already ripping at the rough plaster. Nathan helps her, and they get it off pretty quickly. She rolls her hand around.
It's healed,
she says.
It's completely healed.
She turns her whole wrist around and looks at Jared.
You even fixed the scar.
They all look at me.
My hand goes up to my own scar.
I thought you guys said you liked it. What's going on? Steve asks again.
Mel takes his hand gently.
I told you, she says. You're going to have an open mind around us.
But if he can do that...
Think of all the other good I can do,
Jared says. Then he says more quietly, so only I can hear.
Until I ascend.
I feel the pang in my stomach again. That's still there.
Jared going away forever.
He hasn't told the others about this yet either. For now, it's just me and him knowing. I finally understand what a burden a secret can be.
Tony Kim walks through some trees, sees us, and comes over.
Hannah stands and throws her arms around him.
Thank God you're okay, she says.
He barely recovers his surprise in time to hug her back.
Come, she says, taking his hand. Sit with us.
He sits down next to her on her graduation gown, and they instantly fall into deep conversation. Henna's not going to Africa. She told me while we waited in the disaster-swollen line at the fast food place.
I'm 18, she said. I realized they can't actually make me. It was only a matter of willpower.
She shrugged.
I stayed nice through the whole thing. I never yelled or went crazy. I just said it was my last summer to see you, that the Central African Republic was too dangerous for any of us to go, and that I needed to start making important decisions for myself.
What did they say? I asked.
What could they say? I was right.
Strangely, the first reaction they had was to try for a compromise. They agreed the Central African Republic and its civil war was probably not the wisest choice, so how about Romania?
Romania?
I said, surprised. Does Romania need missionaries? Or foot specialists?
They've got the Romanian Orthodox Church and, as far as I know, hospitals. So no, not really. But they want to go anyway.
And?
She smiled at me, more relaxed than I've ever seen her. I said no.
I watch her and Tony talk now. I watch the closeness they have. I watch the way he won't stop looking into her eyes, and she won't stop looking into his, and the way they touch each other, here and there, and I bet she's got the desire feeling in her stomach for him. I bet he's got it for her, too. Will they end up together and getting married? Who knows? But looking at them, I'm not even jealous. I'm happy. Which is the weirdest thing of all.
That's the guy, we hear. And see the still-alive Finn coming up with the girl who warned us all.
She gets all kinds of looks from people she passes, but she ignores them. They come straight over to Jared, and she throws a hug around him. Oof, he says.
You saved him, she says. That wasn't supposed to happen, but you did.
She was going to have to sacrifice herself to save us, Finn says. But because of you, I could help her, and we destroyed the fissures of the immortals once and for all. There's a silence. Am I allowed to say, what the hell are you talking about this time? Steve asks.
You know what? Mel says. All I really want to know is if it's over.
The girl, who I remember now is called Satchel, which explains why Finn was asking for a satchel earlier, blows out a long breath and nods.
Yeah, she says. It's over.
Thank goodness, Mel says seriously. Satchel and Finn stand there looking a little lost. Where are the other indie kids? I ask. She looks confused.
The other who?
I think that's what they call us, Finn says to her.
Really?
She seems genuinely surprised. Then she looks around the woods.
I'm not sure, actually. We've all got kind of scattered.
Her chin crumples up a bit.
And not all of us made it.
Hey, Mel says kindly.
It's okay.
I'm sorry for all this, Satchel says through tears. I don't know why it always happens to us. I don't know why we always have to blow up the high school.
Don't worry about it, Mel says, making a space for Satchel and Finn to sit. Everybody's got something.
Ain't that the truth, Jared says. Satchel and Finn sit. We all of us together, watch the school still burn.
You know what? I say quietly to Jared.
What?
I think I don't want you to heal my scar. Or anything else yet.
You sure?
Yeah. If it gets bad again, bad enough to... Well, I'll think about it then. But not yet.
Is the medication working that well?
No, but... If you heal all that stuff, I'll live the rest of my life not knowing if I could have figured it out on my own.
He nods solemnly. That makes sense. In fact, what do you want to bet that's what your sister will say too?
I smile at that. That you offered, Jared? That you bargained? For me?
I find that I can't go on. He knows what I mean.
I'm always here for you, he says, if you need it.
For another 4 years, I say, wiping my eyes.
4 years is a long time. A lot could happen.
Maybe. And as I put my own hand up to feel my scar, I think he's right. A lot could happen. Mel and Steve could stay together. Or not. Hannah and Tony could get back together. Or not. Me and Jared could stay firm friends. Or we could drift apart.
Maybe there's a chance even the God stuff will change. Maybe Nathan will get run over by a bus that I'm not anywhere near. Maybe I'll come off my medication. Or stay on it. Maybe my mom won't win her race after all. Maybe my dad will become a new person, and what will that be like? What will this summer be like?
Too fast, probably. Too many nights at Grillers, but also nights together. All of us. Like we are now.
I look at us. Jared and Mel, who I'm so proud of. And Hannah and Meredith and Steve and even Nathan and even the two indie kids, who really do seem just like the rest of us. Just normal people, having a burger above the crater where their school once was.
What metaphor are we going to use for this? Nathan asks.
Our childhoods burning down?
I think our childhoods burned down a long time ago, Mel says, leaning against Steve.
High school is like living through fire,
Hannah suggests.
That's kind of true, I say.
What about, from the ashes, Phoenix will rise?
Meredith suggests.
That sounds too much like hard work, Meredith, Jared says. I think it's just the high school that burned down. I don't think it's a metaphor at all.
Spoil sport,
Nathan says. They laugh together. And I'm only a little bit jealous.
Why does everything have to mean something, though? Jared asks. Haven't we got enough life to be living?
But then, nodding at the tower of smoke that stretches up against the mountain, it's actually kind of beautiful. I say,
everything's always ending, but everything's always beginning, too.
God, Hannah says, that would have been a much better prom theme than Forever Young.
We stay watching the fire, which probably is just a fire, but we watch it together. Me and my friends. And there'll be a tomorrow, of course there will, when it all begins again. But right now is almost a kind of loop for me. Something to feel on the inside of, but this time it's good. It's a loop with my friends that would even be a pretty damn good forever. I know if I need it, they'll save me. I also know that I might not need it quite so often.
We watch the fire.
We watch the fire,
and still we watch.
This is James Foey. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Rest of Us Just Live Here. This program was produced by John Marshall Media. Executive producer, Caitlin Guerin. Text copyright 2015 by Patrick Ness. Production copyright 2015 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.